Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery. With your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB
106.5
FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and we're filming, we're recording this on Friday the 13th, and, you know, we've got a special guest today, and we've got old Chipper over there. I was going to call you Sparky, but
Sparky, or
but you're hungover is what we're going to call you.
I mean, well, we weren't supposed to tell anybody that.
You're living the life of Riley. He's been on a 20-day drunk or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on? I thought you were doing, you know, you're up there online doing this little karate kicking stuff, and I can't wait to get back to going in for training. And then he's drinking, you know, to get rid of his gut. And he's ordering beer and pizza and wings at night. At night.
This is a recarb day.
Oh yeah.
The last night was.
Last night, every night that you're on. This is like, what kind of training do you guys do in karate?
Is the training.
Oh, we eat chicken wings and beer
and
pizza.
Beer and whiskey and
That's
how you, yeah, that's.
And that's what, that, oh, I get it now. I get it now. I didn't realize you, what kind of training you were in. This is the Steven Seagal training.
Exactly.
This is how you become Steven Seagal. You eat lots of pizza and wings and beer. Yep. And that's it. I got
and
it.
And try to move around as little as possible.
Well, that's how I live my life. No moving around. Anyway. Now, today, who have we got on the... We've got a scary man from Eastern Canada in Ottawa area. And he's not in the government. So that's pretty impressive. Mr. Ronald McGilvery, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you guys?
Well, I'm doing fine. I think Dave's a little bit hungover.
But it'll be okay.
Just have another drink. I know how that is. Okay. So, Mr. Ron, now you've got a new book that just came out.
Yep.
Tales from the Parkland.
Yep.
And Stories for Late at Night. What do you want people to know about this book? What's it all about?
It's a collection of short stories that I've sort of came up with during the whole COVID experience. So they're a bit darker. It's each one's, much different than the next. Although I would have to say that an apocalyptic theme seems to be a bit more prevalent, but I guess it's just relevant to these times. I personally believe they're entertaining. They're fast reads, even though some of them look like longer page turners. From the feedback I've gotten so far, everyone said that they breeze through them pretty quickly. So,
what kind of horror is this? Is this kind of like a suspenseful? Is it you can't really get into the detail of the characters too much in a short story, can you?
No, it's a lot of them are, well, it depends on the story, because some short stories are like vignettes, and some stories are like, you know, just sort of plot driven. Most of mine are plot driven. They're sort of, they when I'm writing them, they're something triggers an idea and I write it out. So it's all sort of plot based. You know, I try to have my characters, you know, a bit more fleshed out. But yeah, it's more of a, more encapsulated time frame, because it's, you know, such a short period of time that it takes place. In most of my stories, it would be more sort of horror thriller, sort of suspense. There's, there is, you know, murderous mayhem in it, but it's not, wouldn't say it's like slasher. It's not like Friday the 13th or anything like that. Mine are more sort of like Twilight Zone-ish. So if someone hadn't read my stuff or wasn't like, what kind of a story is it? There's not like just serial killer going around slashing people. It's more sort of Twilight Zone-ish stories with a sort of a twist, usually at the end.
Not so much slash and gore as it is sort of a suspense, a fearful sort of thing as you're going through. It's more of a mind thing.
There is gore, I guess not explicit gore. But, you know, people do meet unfortunate ends, and some characters do unfortunate things. But, yeah, it's not gratuitous.
Oh, well, then too bad.
Yeah. That's my next collection.
That's your next. That's the unedited version.
Exactly. The author's cut.
Now, the garbage collector. So a story, something like that. So are you sitting like at home looking out your window upstairs, ringing the bell for your wife to come bring you dinner? And while you're waiting, you see the garbage collector and that kind of spawns the idea? Or how does it work for you?
Well, to clarify, I wouldn't go downstairs to ring the doorbell. I would call from the phone upstairs. Because it defeats the purpose to come all the way down.
Right. Because if I'm... Yeah, exactly. So you've got this down.
Yeah.
You're a professional.
Exactly. It's usually there's something triggers. I've, you know, a thought in my head. Like for garbage collectors, it was the thought of what would I do if I came up with a... you know, a situation where I had to make a decision, which children, if I had two kids, which one would I give up to save the other? Or would I do such a thing? Like, how would I respond? I watched a cult movie. I think it was Race with the Devil. And it was sort of like a cult, kind of horror movie. And, I sort of was thinking about cults. And then I thought, well, if I moved into this neighborhood, it seemed ideal. And it ended up to have this ideal lifestyle. You had to give up one of your kids. Said, you know, what would I do? And it was just that what if idea. And that's sort of what triggered that whole story. I think a lot of, when I look back at some of the stories, it seems like I had a lot of fears when thinking about with my my son, you know, worrying about, you know, what would happen in this situation. I guess the fear of losing a child is, you know, a big motivating factor, you know. So
that everyone can relate to that.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking back afterwards, a lot of the stories seem to have this kid in peril, and that's, I guess, what usually triggered, you know, I was thinking what scares me, and that's what it was. And with garbage collectors, I thought, well, in that situation, what would happen?
I'm wondering if your stories are interconnected, if you have your own mythos, or if they're all standalone.
No, they're pretty well all standalone. There's the novel that I'm working on right now sort of has a mythos, but I'll see how that goes. But with these ones, you know, they're all standalone, and I'm pretty proud to say most of them are completely different than one another. So it's quite a varied bunch of stories. It's like a bowl of M&Ms, each one or bits and bytes, each handful, you know, a different group. So
different flavor.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, you know, what scares me is men in Speedos.
Not me.
No. All right. Well, there we go. Now we're talking. Now we're going to get to the real part of the story here. So now that you're smart, good-looking man, wearing Speedos, you're an author, publisher.
Living the life.
So you're living the life. Mm-hmm. So the chicks are throwing themselves at you now, and so are the guys.
Yeah.
Which one do you choose? You see, that's the question.
Generally, when they like come to the house with their signs, "We love you, Ron," I'll see them from my window, and I'll pick up the phone and I'll call downstairs and get my wife to come up and deal with it.
Oh, it's always, you know, it sounds like your doorman, not your wife. I hope she doesn't listen. You know, you're going to be in trouble.
You know, she knows that I love her. I'll call her later and tell her.
Yeah, you'll call her later. Send her an email.
Yeah, when I'm asking what's for dinner.
Yeah, by P.S. Yeah. Yeah, well, so what do you hope people get out of something like this? Like this, you know, you want this for a fear sort of thing. Do you have kind of a hopeful outcome, like of what you want people to take away?
I just want, it's just for the enjoyment. I just hope they like the stories, that takes their mind off of the crazy pandemic that's going, around. But other than that, I just purely for the enjoyment, and that hopefully they'll, look for some of my upcoming stories and projects.
I wonder, when you write characters, do you hear your characters? Do you hear the prose in your head? Do you have an inner monologue? I know I hear voices, so that's why I asked this question. But or is it more images and symbols and stuff like that you're trying to transcribe to create the story?
No, it's they're talking in my head. It's for me, it's like watching a movie in my head. Like it all. All my stories play out in a movie. You can probably, if you read the stories, you can probably, they have a cinematic feel to them. There's like lots of dialogue. I don't have large pages of, just prose. It's kind of quick moving along. So when I'm writing, I'm picturing the whole thing. I can picture the scene. And it's almost like, writing the movie in my head onto the page. But I have to also be really careful about that because I do write scripts for films. It's like easy just to make your story come across like all it is like a script trying to slapdash together. So I, try to be careful with that.
When you see this in your head, like playing, is it like a Omnimax theater, 3D? Is there scratch and sniff in the aisles? Like what? how intense is it? Like what? Like do you actually see the horror parts, or is it just kind of the basic story character you get?
No, it's I'm pretty sure it's pretty vivid in my head. Like when I'm writing through, I picture it, sort of all happening. I find it helps me if, I'm describing the scene or, how the person reacts. I'm kind of, you know, thinking it all out. And it's sort of having done, you know, more, I guess, script work than I have actual prose, it's instilled more in me. So I'm picturing, you know, how a shot would go and stuff like that. So it's when you've been doing it for so long, it's hard to sort of change it. But yeah, it's pretty vivid in my my head. I see the actual kills, the you know, and hopefully it comes across.
Yeah, I'm not the only crazy one.
Well, no, I mean, there's plenty of crazies, right? Come on, just turn on the news.
Yeah. You know?
they're out there every day.
It's endless.
It's endless. So you're saying that this kind of came to you, like this book is kind of something you put together during the pandemic. So do you think that the pandemic had a large influence on this?
I would say so. I mean, some of the stories in the collection are older. And I think the whole thing stemmed from was the whole outbreak, because couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. And up here in Canada at the beginning, it was just a complete disaster. So we didn't know what was happening. We didn't have any vaccines. So it was kind of scary. So you're never leaving the house. So I went through and looked at a couple of old stories that I had. And I like, this is a really good story. I think I'll rewrite it. And so I wrote a couple of them, rewrote them, and then it just sort of built up steam. And because once you start writing again, the ideas start to flow. And then it was just one story after another. So, you know, as horrible as COVID is for writing, it helped me, very productive as I sat in my room.
So what do you think of the horror world right now? What do you think of horror in general in 2021, from streaming movies to books to, I would say, theaters, but they're not really kind of going too much now. But so in general, the world of horror, where do you think it sits right now compared to the past?
I think it's actually, I don't want to say it's like a coming into some new renaissance or whatever, but I do find that it's starting to make a comeback after it had sort of dried up after a while. And, I mean, movie wise, there's been some really clever, movies. There's, of course, you know, redos, which I'm usually not that fond of, but the books with, the indie market seems stronger than ever. I find myself reading a lot more indie horror than I do the bigger authors. I find that there's just a lot more content and a much more diversified and varied content as well. And it's probably as good or better than any time that I remember. So I'd say it's a good time if you want to get into horror.
And that's a long time. I mean, you're pretty old.
I'm really old. I'm really old. You mentioned, like,
join the club.
Yeah.
So what do you think is classic horror? But do you say comeback, but, you know, for me, I noticed a lot in horror that and it's kind of a thing I'm not really fussy on, is that there seems to be a lot of romance in it. They really sort of focus on a lot of relationships in the people involved in the horror. And I'm sort of thinking that it's too much. That's my opinion. I don't think they need to go to town with character development that much, as much as they're doing. But, you know, I'm not a pro, of course, with horror, for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that? What's your thought on that?
Well, I haven't actually read a lot with a lot of romance in mind. But I guess, you know, I pick stories that, you know, appeal more, you know, to me. I was going to ask you, so, well, what were these with lots of romance in it? But
well, no, just, you know, because I haven't read as much as I see on streaming services. Like, there's a lot of horrors, and there's, you know, sci-fi horror series.
Too. Yeah.
And you put them on, and you know, it, just on anywhere, Prime, Netflix. I'm not picking on anyone in particular. It doesn't matter. And you just go, oh, that looks good. That looks cool. And you turn it on, and the third episode, it's just still all about, you know, different people's drama within each other. And it's not as much on the horror itself or the sci-fi or whatever's going on. That's just what I've noticed.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's usually with, like, apocalyptic. Is that the kind of shows you're watching? Like,
yeah, yeah, end the world? That seems to be what... Yeah, a lot of that is sort of focused on, it's either after the world's ended or some major catastrophe, or it's about to end, or they're trying to stop it from ending. Like, that seems to be a big thing these last few years, and I don't know, even before the pandemic a little bit.
Yeah, well, Walking Dead brought that. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like four spin-off shows. So, of course, they want to make it, you know, different than that, because it was a landmark series. So they go, well, we'll do it different. We'll build more of the character studies so you like the characters. And they want to do it faster, where the original Walking Dead, things happened sort of at a slower pace kind of thing, where, you know, you met the characters and you got to like the characters as you went along because you were spending so much time with them, where now they want you to sort of get right into the character. So I guess that's why they're adding all the sort of the relationship, and it goes on for episodes. So showing you each sort of character's sort of plot behind it.
Yeah.
But that's probably why they're not as successful as the original.
Well, and quite often, you know, you've written script, right? So you've gone into script writing. I think it's difficult to take a comic and sometimes even a book, especially when it gets to horror or end of the world sort of theme, and script it for something you see on television, whether it's a movie or a series, because sometimes it doesn't transfer that good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, it's, I mean, basically when, if you're going to adapt something like that, you have to pare it down, and that's a job in itself, because you're basically deciding who you're getting rid of and what scenes you're getting rid of. Because you can't do like a whole book into a movie. It's just, it would be like endless. So there's always going to be lost in translation, so to speak.
Yeah. That's interesting. So is there some sort of formula to that? Or is it just sort of by feel?
It's by feel, really, because each person, whoever the screenwriter is that would be looking at the book, would be going through it, and it would be their interpretation of the book, and go, you know, if I envision, we don't really need this character. So it'd be a total, like a personal preference. So if I was adapting, you know, a novel, I would go through it, and the first thing you'd have to do is cut and go, well, can't do this, can't do that. Usually it's depending on the budget too. It's like, well, can't have them escaping in a spaceship to the moon on our budget. So that whole chapter is gone. So a lot of it is financial decisions as well. But then, you know, this is how many characters we're going to have in the like in a book, I can write 50 characters, but in a movie, you can only have, you know, a handful. And often that is too much for the audience. So, you know, you got to go with characters can go. And a lot of time you'll blend characters. So you could have an attribute of one and another, so, you know, to make it it all work. So it's mostly a cutting and pasting kind of thing. Then once you have sort of an outline of the story, then you can do the creative writing part of it. But yeah, the paring down a book is the first step in that kind of situation.
Do you have a preference? Do you enjoy writing short fiction more than screenwriting, or screenwriting more than writing short fiction? Do you have a preference on what you write?
It depends on my mood. I would say for me, it's for just strictly writing. Screenwriting comes the most natural to me. I just, can envision stuff just easily in my head, and I can pump out scripts relatively quickly. Short stories are like close behind. I like writing them, as well. It's a toss up between those novels, which I'm attempting as well right now. I can do, but it's tougher. I would say easiest for me is script writing. The only problem with that is you're a lot more reliant on a lot of other people. Because you can write, like I can write a short story or write a novel and, have it published and, it's done. Where with a script, there's lots of fingers in the pie. There's producers, there's the director, there's actors, like any of them pull out or change their mind or whatever. And everything you wrote is basically, you can't really do much with a script if no one's willing to, put it together. So although I'd say it's easier to write, I probably would say prefer, short stories, because it's totally on you. You can write it and then, it's either published or it's not, but it's done. Not a lot of people just will sit down and, hey, you want to read my script? No, not really. So it's like, there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah. What's your favorite story that you did in this Tales from the Parkland?
I'd probably say Big Boy. It's probably my favorite story. It's
sounds
it
good.
Was it sort of had, it was a I wouldn't it's not a personal story, but it was a story that was sort of based around my son. It was a thought that I had in my head about what would happen if, sort of this, an apocalypse or something traumatic in society happened, and, the husband and wife were at work, and your child was at, a daycare, and you had to somehow, during this whole end of world scenario or this catastrophe, trying to make it from where you are to the daycare or the school. What trials and tribulations. And it's funny because the story was originally from the parents' viewpoint, like what they had to go through to try to make it to their kid. And then it ended up completely turning around on its own and became from the child's standpoint of being sort of, helpless and having to wait for others to help them. And it's funny how when you're writing something, a character concern.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sort of take over. And so, yeah, it that story always resonated with me.
I'm wondering, too, like you're saying characters taking over, and I've had that happen. I had a character once go from an old abandoned novel and then just kind of showed up in a newer work and said, hi, I'm here, and I'm in this book, and there's nothing you can do about it. So I was just wondering if you ever had a character do anything in a story or even in a screenplay or whatever that surprised you.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Big Boy, that completely surprised me. He just, like, I don't want to be the kid that's out of, the picture, sort of waiting for my parents to arrive. I'm just going to, like, kick out the jam, and I'm going to be the character. And he just came storming right to the front. Trying to think if there was any major changes that most of them are pretty stuck close to how I envisioned it in my head. I mean, most of the characters are pretty strong right from the get-go, which is how I generally get the stories. I'm trying to think of if there's any sort of circumstance. I guess in the novella, Harmony, there's a character that sort of came on, which was, he was supposed to be just sort of a secondary kind of foil to the main one. And he actually came up. So yeah, I guess they can. You never know. It's like each character, just sort of speaks as you go along. Kind of makes it sound like it's some kind of weird magical thing.
You probably drink a lot like Dave, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So are you inside the heads of your character, or they're inside your head? Sort of, is this sort of, do you put yourself in the place of that? Like, for instance, like Big Boy, are you putting yourself in? You're talking about Peter, who's the kid in the daycare, and the world's ending. Are you inside that character's head or the parent's head, for instance, when they're coming for the kid?
Yeah, I always find myself picturing it. No matter which character it is, it's like it's almost always, I'm in their head at one point. I was going to say they're all me. It's like I put myself in. I picture it right away. So yeah, I'm always invested in each character, because when I'm writing, I'm picturing what that character would do, and I'm basically, what would I do, in that situation, or what would be the options? And then, of course, you can't always go with the normal option. I mean, you make a decision because you want the story to be good, so you'll go, well, these are my options, which one would make the story more interesting? But I always put myself into the character's head. That's just the way I write.
And so, and therefore, like when you write your stories, you write in the first person to say, like, would I get it from that person's mind? So if you're writing about, like, for instance, we talk about Big Boy. So are you writing it from Peter's point of view or from the parent's point of view or from everyone's? Does it change back and forth?
I write sometimes in first person and then other times in third. Each character has their own strong voice, or I like to at least think so. Big Boy, it's a lot in his point of view.
What do you think is more horrifying, but? Do you think it's a more terror if you're in a person's mind that is experiencing something, or from some point of view telling that you about the terror? Like, you know, I'm an amateur here, so I'm just I'm trying to pick this up because, you know, I'm going to steal all these ideas and then write.
Well, I think from a reader will get scared if they can put themselves in a character's position. It won't really matter if it's like written first or third. If you know, to be, you know, scared or horrified, you have to relate to whatever that situation is, and you know, you sort of put yourself into, or at least when I'm reading, you know, try to put myself into that character's position, kind of thing, and that's how you get sort of creeped out.
So now you've added a bonus of the novella, Harmony. So you put that in with the book. So if they pick up right now Tales from the Parkland, they're going to get this bonus addition.
Yeah, the novella. Of
Harmony. So what is Harmony?
It was a story that was supposed to be a short story. And it was one of those we were talking about earlier that one of the characters that was supposed to be minor sort of took on a mind of his own. And the story just kind of expanded, and I knew it wasn't going to be good enough to be like a full novel, but I knew it wouldn't work as a short story. So I thought I would try as a novella. So it's about an army fellow that works on a base, and he's been discharged, but he still does training because he was a sniper at one point, and he trained the snipers for and shooting in general to cadets and what have you. But he's called into service because there's a mysterious situation that's occurred at another fort that's known as a research and development base. And when he gets called in, the secondary character that I talked about is brought in as well. And the two of them are basically not enemies, but they'd had a falling out, but they're sort of the two best. So they're called in and given an assignment that is something that they've never experienced before. And so they're dropped into a very unpleasant situation and told to deal with it the best they can, and then things just progressively get worse for them.
Now, I notice now on the cover, it's quite an interesting cover. It's nice. It's done well. Mm-hmm. Who do you get to do your covers?
My book cover was designed by Tanya Sproul. She did a really good job. She's doing the cover as well for my children's fantasy novella that'll be coming out, James Journey to Dreamland. And she came up with a really good sort of style, and I really liked it. So the next novella is kind of sort of that same kind of style. So hopefully if I can keep pumping out the books, people will look at a book and go, well, that's a, you know, a Ronald McGilvery book. You can tell by sort of the cover.
Well, I'm wondering too, when you write these stories, you know, you're writing a story about the military and are you pulling from your own life, or doing research? Are you taking from activity, hobbies? How does that work for you?
For me, it's just most of it's Google, you know, do it with the research because it's been a long time since I was a sniper, you know, back when I was at NOM. But I mean, these days it's so much easier to research. And it was, you know, most of the time I try to write stuff that I don't have to do a lot of research in. It's like, you know, the story moves along. But in this case, you know, I had to sort of look up a few things. I'm not like, say, a Tom Clancy who's, you know, can go into, you know, the breakdown of, you know, all the weaponry and all the tech stuff. I try to keep it more sort of a breezier kind of read.
Oh, yeah. How did being a sniper in NOM change you?
Well, it made me a lot lazier.
Yeah. That's why he's upstairs.
That's not weird.
Yeah, exactly. What's the high ground?
With my phone, exactly.
Yeah, he's actually locked in. He's locked in that room. He's not. So now you're putting your work, your talent to work now. You said you've got some short film coming up or something like Chimes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I wrote two scripts. One is Chimes. It's in pre-production now. It's supposed to be shot the last weekend of August. It was supposed to have been shot earlier, but with COVID and the restrictions that we've had here, we haven't been allowed to do anything. So it's pushed way back. And I have a second script that I wrote called The Crepuscule. It's, was supposed to have been the one that was supposed to be shot at the end of August. Now it's pushed back into fall. It'll be exciting to see those, done, be kind of, it would just be fun to actually be able to work with kind of some people just for the last, 6-7 months I've been writing, and it's all by, you know, you're lonesome in your room. So to actually, get these shot will be nice.
How is it doing, are you going to be putting it on streaming service? Is that kind of your goal? And what's that like now? What's the process like when you shoot a story, a movie, or a show?
Well, right now, like for shorts like that, it's usually more sent to the like a festival circuit where they'll get played there. For streaming services, I mean, there's different ones, but it's I probably wouldn't do a streaming service unless we could put a few together and maybe make an anthology, make it sort of a longer project where we could like put several shorts together as 90 minutes. But when we do shorts like this, it's mostly just for the festival circuit, and it's kind of a more of a like a passion thing. So I have my my creative partner Jeff Radborn, who we work together in most of the projects. We've been doing stuff together for God, known it for 30 years.
After you got back from NAMM.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was my spotter in NAMM. That's how we got to meet each other.
Yeah. So he wears Speedos too. Does he look good in Speedos? Or?
He wears the thong, the thong in the pouch.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, he finds a Speedo too restrictive.
Oh, well, you go. Well,
I'm a bit more conservative. Older. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're much more conservative, Yeah. You wear Speedos with underwear.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go with this? Because this is kind of, this is the first book you've actually put out, isn't it? Like full book?
Yeah. I mean, I've had stories in different publications, but never like a, something like this with, my name on it and all the stories are mine. It sounds it's kind of sad, but as the first book to really come out in my name, and it's sort of much later in life.
Right.
I'd like to say, I wish I could I'm going to crank out, 20, 30 more books. Probably not going to happen. But, I hope people, enjoy it. And it's only been out 2 weeks. I noticed that I think I've got 4 reviews so far, but they've all been 5-star. So that's good. So I got one from Amazon UK, and 2 or 3 from the .ca. And then one from Amazon.com. So I've got 5 stars from 3 different countries and 2 continents. It's more, I guess, at this point in my life, I'm writing for the pleasure, and I'm, hoping to get, good feedback, just sort of to, I guess to to know that what you're doing is kind of, you know, worthwhile. I've been writing since my 20s. And so obviously I'm just going to continue writing because it's not anything I've ever, you know, given up. So it'll just continue on. But I'm not
And you can always go back to escort services if, you know.
Yeah, it's not as lucrative anymore. I'm not the man that I was in the picture.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, it's like, come on, that's how it works nowadays. That's the picture that's up on the site. You know, they don't know until they're there already.
That's true. Get them to pay up front.
That's right. Well, you know, it's all good. Well, fantastic. Anybody you'd like to work with coming up?
You know, I there's, you know, it'd be more people I'd like to, you know, like to meet or, you know, just talk with. I wouldn't say that I don't play well with others, but I seem very single-minded with my stories. You know, it's funny because I hear that and go, I'd love to work with so-and-so and so-and-so. I've never had that urge. I'd love to sit down and, you know, talk with them and, you know, pick their brain and just, you know, have a conversation. But, you know, when people talk about how lonely writing is, it's, you know, that's when I'm in my element. Like when I sit down, I'm writing, it's like, it all comes streaming out. You know, sometimes, you know, hours can go by and I look at the clock and I'm like, wow, where'd the time go? And, I don't know. I mean, like, for example, like my creative partner with Jeff Radbourne, we've been doing stuff, you know, for 30 years and there's days both of us probably feel like killing the other person. And, it's, but we've got sort of a pattern and we complement each other's strengths. So it's worked out well, but, yeah, I mean, you could ask him and he'd probably be like, you know, if I just walked off the street again, I'd never work with Ron again, but you know, it's, but you know, we did a few projects early on. When, you know, we were starting out and found that we worked really well together. And, you know, I guess we know that we work well together. And so we look the other way on each other's foibles.
Well, yeah. And sometimes knowing that or having that little bit of, I don't know, tension or whatever that is, helps with the creative part of it, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's kind of normal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just see the fights Dave and I have.
Oh, yes. They're legendary.
Yeah. It's like lots of swear words, breaks everything, you know, just every coffee part, every glass in the house, he's just smashed it all up. You know, I don't know. It's crazy. But out of it comes something good. So that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember when the box came for my, the author proof, you know, and I was holding it. Just, I mean, it's the closest thing that, I guess I'll ever come to, for childbirth. You know, it's like, it was kind of like a baby. I was like, open the box and out it popped. I couldn't stop holding it. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I know. It's an exciting time. It's, you know, you're wearing your Speedos and out it popped.
Yeah.
And no labor pains.
Yeah. Nothing at all. And when they dropped it off, I could see them from the window. So all I had to do was call down and have my wife bring it up.
Wow.
Exactly.
Jeez, you know, well, at least that was very polite of you to call down and say, hey, by the way, you know.
Yeah. I said, my book's here.
Don't be wasting any time here. We need this. Well, that's pretty interesting, you know, and it's good to see someone actually living out kind of what they want to do. It sounds like it's something you've always wanted to do, and it's all working out for you. So, you know, it's good to see.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I wasn't sure if I could pull off going from, you know, sort of script writing, which was generally my strength, to, you know, trying to write it down into prose. But I think I pulled it off.
What would you say to someone in a position of doing something and they've always wanted to be writing horror or science fiction or whatever it is that they sort of think about or dream about? And it doesn't matter what age they're at, but, you know, what would you say to someone that's kind of how you were before this book came out?
I just do it. Just do it. The one thing that, you know, the COVID thing has taught me is you just never know when some kind of BS is going to show up next. You know, it's just like, well, I'm going to wait until this kind of point. And it's like, well, you know, you wait and then COVID came. So, and now you're all dead. So it's like, if you have a dream, just go for it, because you just never know when you're going to get that opportunity again.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, it can end tomorrow, so you just don't know, right?
Yeah, because you can go, oh, I'm not good enough. I, you know, maybe I should take another course, or maybe I should do that. And it's like, you know what? Just do it, because who knows or what is going to be around the next corner. So it's like, you know, if you want to do it, do it. I mean, it may not work out, but at least you'll know. It's the you know, never doing it and always wondering, and then finding yourself – you know, on your, you know, deathbed going, you know, I should have tried it. I was too scared. So it's like, nothing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so, and did you have a website set up yet? Or do you, you do, don't you? What would your website be?
It's www.ronaldmcgilvery.com.
And is that how you like people to look you up or find you, or do you have like a, or do you like social media, or do you like?
I'm on
dating apps. Like what?
Yeah, I'm on hotspeedos.com.
Oh. Okay, I'm writing this down.
Yeah. Also have the don't call me late for dinner.com.
Oh.
Yeah, that way, you know, they know right up front what you're like. But I'm on Facebook. Yeah. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Just type in my name. They're all open, so you can see what I'm up to. My webpage at ronaldmcgilvery.com. You can see it has links to things too. It has the trailer for my film Chimes that we're going to be shooting soon. There's a trailer up for that. There's my book trailers on the webpage as well. I have an author page on Amazon that they can you know, look up as well when they're buying my book. don't look up my author page unless you're buying my book.
Yeah, just remember that.
Yeah.
So we'll have that all linked, of course, to our website and everything else, so people listening can find you. And, you know, we'll have the Grindr and Speedo and all those up there too, right? So people can just one click, and the handle will be Big Boy.
Big Boy, yes. That's right. Big Boy, yeah. Tales from the Parkland, hardcover coming soon.
Yeah, well, there you go. I like it hard.
Yeah.
Wow, this has been amazing. So, I mean, it sounds like the whole COVID sort of thing has an effect on you, but doesn't.
Yeah.
Because you do sort of get into being by yourself and going through the emotions is how I read it.
Yeah.
And that's when you're writing. But whether there was COVID going on or not, you would be doing that.
Yeah. Well, I always wrote, but not as prolifically. It's... because life gets in the way, you know. It's always an excuse. It's like, well, when I was writing, well, you know, I got to work later, so, you know, I should take a nap, or, you know, I got to mow the lawn, or, oh, we're having people over, so I'm not going to write. There's like a million different reasons why you don't want to sit down and write stuff out.
Yeah.
And this just kind of, there was like a year and a half of sitting inside. And, you know, especially at the beginning up here in Canada, there was so much confusion because of our lack of vaccines and stuff. It was just, you were afraid to leave the house because you didn't know when we were going to be vaccinated or if we were going to be. So it was just like, well, just barricade. I mean, we had like coolers full of food. We went to, you know, in case everything shut down because no one knew what was happening. So writing was, I guess, an outlet. And it worked. And now that I've started writing more sort of prolifically, getting stuff out, it's flowing easier now. I'm not doing spot, you know, story here, story there. So,
yeah. Well, it's good that it's flowing because you have something to do with all that toilet paper you got.
Exactly.
Well, you were the one that bought all the toilet paper too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We were hauling, just storing it all in the back and selling it to the neighbors. We just would go in there.
Of course. for a decent markup.
Yeah. Well, nothing's free in this world. Especially at the end of the world.
And then, then he's stuffing his Speedos with the rest. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I always did that anyways because it makes me look hot.
Yeah, that's Well, there you go. Now, you see, we're finding out a lot of stuff that, you know, you've done it all. Yeah. You've been there. And look at you. Well, the book, Tales from the Parkland, and the author is the guest, Ronald McGillivray. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.